Support for this public radio podcast comes from Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by the Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, online at shrm.org.
The blue chips are red hot.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Blue chip stocks might be having a better month than Alex Rodriguez. The Yankees third baseman has 14 home runs in 18 games. The Dow has gained almost 800 points in 18 sessions. Corporate profits have been better than expected, so investors are bullish, as they say. Yesterday, the Dow broke 13,000 for the first time and just kept going. Sounds like we're at a ball game. The Dow put on 135 points to 13,089. The S&P 500 gained 15 to 1,495. The NASDAQ added 23 points to 2,547. Asian stocks also followed suit today and climbed about 1%. New York's Mayor Michael Bloomberg is in Mexico this week. He's there to check out a program that offers cash to poor families if they accomplish some goals, like getting their kids to school on a regular basis. Bloomberg thinks this might work in the Big Apple. Alisa Roth has more.
Under Bloomberg's plan, poor families will be able to earn as much as $5,000 a year from meeting certain goals. Conditional cash incentives have been used widely in Latin America and Asia. Francisco Ferreira is an economist at the World Bank. He says such programs have been shown to help ease poverty.
They also seem to effectively keep children in school and to increase the usage of health facilities.
Deyanira Del Rio works at a financial justice organization in the city called NEDAP. She says she's pleased the mayor's taking the problem of poverty seriously, but some aspects of the program worry her.
Suggesting that it's not the system that's broken, but that the people are the broken ones and that, you know, they need to be incentivized to behave better.
The program will initially cost about $50 million. If it works, Bloomberg says he'll try to make it a permanent government-funded program. In New York, I'm Alisa Roth for Marketplace.
Today in Washington, the Senate takes a hard look at OSHA. That's the Occupational Health and Safety Administration. OSHA handles workplace injuries and things that threaten the safety of people on the job. But critics say OSHA hasn't been doing its job. Steve Henn reports.
5 years ago today, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention sent out an emergency memo warning that a common chemical used in artificial butter was linked to a rare and potentially deadly lung disease.
Since then, OSHA has done virtually nothing.
Dr. David Michaels follows OSHA enforcement at George Washington University. Until this year, OSHA had not taken any steps to write new rules about this food additive, even though it's used at thousands of plants. Peg Seminario is at the AFL-CIO.
They are doing nothing to reduce exposures to cancer-causing agents and to other chemicals in the workplace.
OSHA administrators say writing new rules takes time. They note that workplace illness and injury rates have fallen 13% since 2002, and they credit aggressive enforcement. But a University of Michigan study found the agency's statistics miss roughly two workplace injuries for each one they catch. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Introducing ThriveQ, an online tool that helps you know where you stand on your path to retirement. More at ThriveQ.com. By Reuters, the world's news and information source, working to make a difference every day. Before it's news, it's Reuters. And by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com.
April 26, 1986. Remember what happened that day? Chernobyl, the worst nuclear accident we've ever seen. That and Three Mile Island in 79 created a strong opposition to nuclear power in the U.S. But a lot of people are rethinking that position. And students getting into the nuclear industry don't really worry about Chernobyl or 79. Sarah Gardner reports from our sustainability desk.
It's a Friday afternoon on the campus of Oregon State University. Young people from all over the U.S. are here for the American Nuclear Society's annual student conference. If this were the 80s, there might be protesters outside. But times have changed, and Idaho State nuclear engineering major Caleb Robison feels it.
There's a lot more buzz about nuclear going on.
Robison says when student groups on his campus got together recently, he met some unexpected allies.
You wouldn't have ever expected it because the tree huggers, I don't know what organization they're from. They came over and you would have thought that we were best friends. They said it was such a great idea and they supported nuclear power, and they wouldn't have said that 10 years ago. They would have been exiled from their own group for having said that.
These aspiring nuclear engineers say global warming has forced many to rethink nuclear power since it doesn't emit greenhouse gases, and they're convinced it's safe. Megan Hahn is a senior at Oregon State.
I'm taking a senior design class, and I was very surprised about all the safety systems that are currently in place. It was very impressive.
Of course, nuclear accidents are textbook material for these young people, not front page headlines. Carol Berrigan works for the nuclear industry's main trade group.
They weren't around at the time of Three Mile Island, which I think is the most significant experience for the U.S., sort of collective memory. So they really are coming from a different frame of reference than the earlier generation came from.
The frame of reference for these young job seekers also includes modern-day environmentalism. They worry about nuclear waste, but believe it can be disposed of safely. Many insist it's a political problem, not a technical one. These students hope by the time they retire, nuclear power will provide the majority of the electricity in the United States. But even if the industry fails to achieve that kind of growth, they're confident of their career choice. Junior Nathan Demick.
I don't worry about a job at all.
In just 3 years, 27% of workers in the nuclear industry will be eligible for retirement, and the industry is desperate to replace them. In Corvallis, Oregon, I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
A little piece of history just sold at auction in London. Actually, it was a little piece of mold. It came from the laboratory of Sir Alexander Fleming, the man who discovered penicillin. This culture was mounted in a glass dish in 1948. It sold for $23,000. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.